Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll read verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayers and supplications. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness and grace, and thank you for this short opportunity we have to look into this, your word. We pray that you'd be pleased to grant us grace, open our eyes, come to us by the power of your Spirit, work in our hearts, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a desire to put into practice your word and to walk in the light of your word. Bless us to this end, we pray in Jesus' name. The objective of the devil is to kill and to maim and to destroy. The news just last night from Paris. 6 coordinated attacks in the city of Paris. I've heard various reports on the number of those who have been killed, from about 120 to 160. We don't know how many have been wounded or have been injured. The devil is out to kill and to maim and destroy. Closer to home, of course, you've heard the news that just a few blocks, what is it, 4 or 5 blocks from pastor's home, a young lady who is a pastor's wife was murdered in her home. The devil is out to kill and to maim and destroy. This is not a game. Sometimes we kind of approach all of this as kind of a game. Oh, it's nice, study the Bible, get together, pray together, and then we get about our business. It's not a game. And as Paul writes to the Christians at the church at Ephesus, he's very earnest with them, because they also are in a situation in which the prospect of death looms large. In the Roman Empire, to confess Jesus as Lord rather than Caesar as Lord could carry the death penalty. And in Western Asia, the persecution of the church became quite severe. So the background is here, and Paul uses this language with regards to God's armor and fighting because the devil is real and he's out to get you and me. He roves around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And you and I need to understand that this is the case. So, getting more particularly to this particular text, there's what I would call a pretty typical slant on the text that we hear. Look with me at a couple of the verses, more than a couple, actually. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. This is an imperative. It's a command. Verse 13, which is parallel, therefore take up the whole armor of God. It's another command. It's another imperative that the Apostle Paul gives us. Verse 14, stand therefore. Another command, an imperative. Let's see. Verse 16, in all circumstances, the English Standard Version translates it an imperative. Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so that there are these imperatives that are given to us in the text, which imply certain action on our part. And I'm running a little flag up the flagpole here, because I think there's a danger inherent in what we're beginning to talk about. That is, as you look at the armor of God, stand therefore having fastened on the belt of truth. You men need to make sure that you understand the truth and you need to study the truth. Okay? Put on the breastplate of righteousness. You need to ensure that you live a righteous life. See? I'm going after these imperatives here. You follow me, do you not? Okay. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness of the gospel. Understand the gospel. Study the gospel. Make sure you know and understand the gospel and are able to present it. Take the helmet of salvation. Understand how God works in the lives of individuals to bring about salvation in the lives of individuals. Not just the objective work of Jesus Christ on the cross, but understand subjectively how God works in bringing about salvation. And understand the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Iron men, read the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Understand the Word of God. See, and I'm serious about this. I'm pushing a little bit here for a particular reason. But I'm also serious about this because we need to be serious about these things. The devil's serious. And so you and I need to be serious. But now, you see, the standard way to understand the armor of God is that the armor of God refers to things that I must do. How I must live. And as I say, I'm running a little warning flag up the pole here because Christianity is not a how-to religion. Christianity is about what God has done, and as a result of what God has done, what we do in this life, responding to what God has done. And it's easy for us to look at this matter of the armor of God and think to ourselves, well, I can check off, I pray, I read the Bible, I've studied the gospel, etc., etc., etc. Good boy am I, and all of a sudden we're in a works religion. Very easy for us to go in that direction. And this is why I'm running the flag up the pole. Now, I mentioned to someone in worship, they said, well, they were interested in coming to breakfast this morning. I don't think they made it. but at any rate, I said, well, one of the interesting things about the passage in Ephesians is that Paul is quoting from the Old Testament. Paul is picking up ideas out of the Old Testament here. And it seems to me that this is crucial for us to understand. I told my wife last night that the English Standard Version, at least that I have, doesn't indicate any of the quotes from the Old Testament. All the text is the same. And we talked about this a little bit. So depending on the Bible you have, you may not see where Paul is either alluding to or quoting from the Old Testament. But I think it's crucial for you and me to see what Paul is actually saying here when he talks about the armor of God. So keep your finger here in Ephesians chapter 6. And I want you to go back, first of all, to Isaiah chapter 11. To Isaiah chapter 11. I'm usually the last person to get there, so it's Isaiah chapter 11, and the first five verses, and this is a pretty familiar passage. There shall come forth a root from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from its roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. About whom is Isaiah speaking? The Savior, Jesus Christ. It's quite striking, really. See, verse 5. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist. Faithfulness, or truth, the belt of his loins. From whence cometh righteousness? From Jesus Christ. Right? Who is the origin of truth? Jesus Christ. If you are going to put on righteousness, you are going to put on Jesus Christ. This is where Paul is going with this text. If you are going to gird yourself with truth, you are going to put on Jesus Christ. This is the idea. seems to me. And we'll have to speak about how we do this as we get further into the text. But this will emerge, it seems to me. And so when you look at Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. See, there's a direct reference to Christ here. This is not a text that says to you, now, you're David, and you now need to put on Saul's armor, in which you're unable to move. That's not the idea, you see. The reference is, it seems to me, back to what comes out in the book of Isaiah, and what comes out in the book of Isaiah is Jesus Christ and His righteousness and His truth. Okay, this is not all that Paul does. Look at this one is Isaiah 52:7. So moving ahead in Isaiah. Actually, go to Isaiah 49:1-3. Let's take these in order in Isaiah 49. We're actually picking around the edges here of the idea. 49:1-3. Chapter 49 is one of the servant songs in the book of Isaiah. And these servant songs have to do with the Savior and with Israel as epitomized in the Savior. So verse 49. Chapter 49, verses 1 through 3. Listen to me, O coastlands. Give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, He named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of His hand, He hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In His quiver, He hid me away. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." And you see verse 2, He made my mouth like a sharp sword. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And when you do a little bit of study, you realize that all of Scripture is the Word of Christ. It's His Word, spoken by Him and given to us by Him. And so here's the sword of the Spirit. You and I, by God's grace, are caught up in the plans and the purposes of God by His Word and by His Gospel. You know, what a privileged position we have. And it's not because we've done anything. It's despite what we've done that this is the case. You know, you just have to say, hallelujah, what Jesus Christ has done for us by the power of His grace and by His Word. He unsheathed the sword of His Spirit and applied it to the enemy to ward him off, and applied it to our hearts to change us into new creatures. What a good thing. What a good thing this is. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So, in other words, know Jesus Christ. This would be the idea. This would be the preeminent thing that we should get in Ephesians chapter 6. Okay? Isaiah 52:7. Well, before we go to Isaiah 52:7, look again at Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. See, you have to be, to take the sword of the Spirit, you have to be united to Christ. See, this is the whole point, it seems to me. This is what we should grasp. And then Isaiah 52:7, this is more of an allusion, I would say, Paul. And Paul likes this text because he quotes it in Romans chapter 10, Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, and says to Zion, your God reigns. What is the good news? Here's the good news, men. Jesus Christ reigns. He is king. Your God reigns. If your God is in control, absolutely in control of all things, and you're in the palm of his hand, what do you have to fear? This is the gospel. This is the good news. It really is. And the text says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says, your God reigns. And of course, the picture is of the messenger who comes from the battlefield. And he's running. He's not just slogging along like this because there's been defeat on the battlefield. He's running. He's got a good report. And he's coming with a report. And the report, as far as the advancement of the kingdom of God, is that he reigns. And he reigns supreme. I had a fun little thing happen to me years ago in connection with this particular verse. We had a Bible study in our home, and I would often sit in a chair and put my feet on an ottoman or a footstool. And one of the widow ladies came to me after one of the Bible studies, and she said, I noticed the soles of your shoes have holes in them. Here's some money to buy some new shoes. And she quoted this text. Actually, the idea of feet here is not just feet running, but it's the messenger running. See? It's a figure of speech that has to do with the whole messenger, not just the feet. So, but it's the idea of the gospel. You see, the beauty of the gospel and the power of the gospel, and the fact that God is king. You see, and so when you take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And let's see, in verse 15, and you shod your feet with the readiness given by the gospel of peace. It's that you understand the gospel, you know the gospel, and you know Christ is king. And you have confidence in the fact that Christ is king. And when you have that confidence that Christ is king, that changes everything. In your life and in my life. And as I say, we're with these texts, we're just nibbling around the edges of what the Apostle Paul is saying here. And it seems to me the main text, the big text that the Apostle has in mind is Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. So that's the next one. And I'm going to begin at the beginning of the chapter in Isaiah 59 because I think it's helpful for us to get the context. And the verse that Paul has in mind is verse 17. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. Okay? That's the verse that Paul references. But now let's get some of the context, because here's the deal. When Paul quotes from the Old Testament or references the Old Testament, he's not just pulling a verse out here and pulling a verse out here and thinking to himself, oh, that's a great idea. I think I'll put it in my letter here. And here's another good idea from the Old Testament. I think I'll put it in my letter here. No, he's well-read and well-schooled in the Old Testament scriptures. And he understands the context in which each of these verses rests. And he has the context also in mind. So let's look at the beginning of chapter 59 and read through. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue mutters wickedness. No one enters a suit justly, no one goes to law honestly. They rely on empty pleas, they speak lies. They conceive mischief and give birth to iniquity. They hatch adder's eggs and weave the spider's web. Who eats their eggs dies, and from one that is crushed a viper is hatched. Their webs will not serve as clothing. Men will not cover themselves with what they make. Their works are works of iniquity, and deeds of violence are in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They are swift to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Desolation and destruction are in their highways. The way of peace they do not know, and there is no justice in their paths. They have made their roads crooked. No one who treads on them knows peace. Therefore, justice is far from us. Righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light and behold darkness, and for brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at noon as in the twilight. Among those who, in full vigor, we are like dead men. We all growl like bears, and we moan and moan like doves. We hope for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against you. For our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities, transgressing and denying the Lord, and turning back from following our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart lying words. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far away. For the truth has stumbled in the public square, and uprightness cannot enter. Truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. The Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought him salvation, and his righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, so he will repay wrath to his adversaries, repayment to his enemies. To the coastlands he will render repayment. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. For he will come like a rushing stream, which the wind of the Lord drives. And a Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who turn from transgression, declares the Lord. The Lord looked, and the Lord looked, said, there's no one. There's no one to redeem. There's no one to come for help. I must undertake it myself. And so he did. This is the wonder of it. So he did. And as it says in verse 16, he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought him salvation and righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. This is God's armor. You see, this is God's armor. This is the armor that God comes in and wages war in. His righteousness, his truth, his salvation, his redemption. And he applies all of these things to you and me. And when you go back now, go back to Ephesians, with this little bit of light, with this little bit of light, consider what Paul says, verse 14. Well, he says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. It's God's armor. It actually is God's armor. This is the thing for us to realize. Take the whole armor of God. Stand, therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on Jesus Christ. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstance, take up the shield of faith. And what is faith? Faith is not something you bone up on your own. Faith is a gift of God, something that God gives by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you have faith in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you are justified and you have right standing with God. And Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father, praying for you and upholding you. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness of the gospel in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Put on Jesus Christ. In other words, trust God in Jesus Christ. To me, that's the root of it. Trust God in Jesus Christ. I remember so well being at West Point and going to bayonet drill. Get your M1 gun, bayonet fixed, and the way we used to, this is what we did then anyway, the way we would go to bayonet drill is we'd have our rifles with fixed bayonets, and we'd double time to bayonet drill. And as we would double time to bayonet drill, the drill sergeants would lead us in a chant. Kill! 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 Hate! Hate! Hate, hate, kill, kill, kill. And after double timing for about 20 minutes, you know, and just chanting that, the whole idea was work up your emotions so that you're ready, if necessary, to thrust that bayonet into the belly of another human being and take their life. And it was up to you to do that. This is not what Paul is talking about. He's not talking about our working up the energy so that we can do certain things and then be able to step back and say, well, we accomplished our mission. This is about, the armor of God is about what Jesus Christ has done for you, who He is, His righteousness, His truth, and you're living in union with Jesus Christ and His truth. In South Vietnam, while I was a chaplain there, I used to have to go out and travel to different areas where troops were and visit them, which I was glad to do. That was part of my task. And I would go to the brigade headquarters. I was a battalion chaplain, and I would go to the brigade headquarters to see where the units were. I'd go to the Tactical Operations Center with a big map on the wall, and I'd talk to the fellows there and find out where the units were, and then I would go visit them, get my Jeep with my chaplain's assistant, and we'd be off. One morning, after I'd completed a round of visitation, I went to the Tactical Operations Center and was looking at the map there, and one of the officers there said to me, "Chaplain, where were you?" And so I went to the map and I pointed on the map where I'd been. He said, "Oh man," he said, "I wouldn't go down there without two or three companies of men." I said, "Well, I was just down there." And actually, it didn't bother me at all. I never told Irma what I was doing in some of these situations. But this was my philosophy. "Lord, You've got me here to accomplish a particular mission. You're in charge of this mission. I'm your servant. I trust You." And that makes all the difference in the world. That makes all the difference in the world. And in the end, you see, that this is what I think the armor of God is about. Trust Jesus Christ, know Him, put on Jesus Christ, and live in union with Jesus Christ. Let's read the text again. Notice verse 10, which begins the paragraph. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might." Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness of the gospel, given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Back to verse 10. "Finally, Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Live in union with Jesus Christ. Live in union with Jesus Christ, trusting Him. And you will be girded with the full armor of the great God of heaven, who is, you see, who is your victory. This is the truth of God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you that you are so good to us, better than we deserve, and we thank you and praise you that this is the case. And we pray that you'd be pleased to forgive us as we fail so often to think about the great things that you have done for us, and too often depend upon our own strength. And we pray that you'd cleanse us from that perspective, and root in our hearts by your Spirit the attitude of living in you, in union with you, in the power of your strength, because of what you have done for us. Thank you for these men and for these young people. Bless them, strengthen them, and encourage them. And in this day, as we go about the things to which you have been pleased to call us, we pray that you'd remind us that this armor that Paul talks about is your armor, and you outfit us with truth and righteousness and the gospel and with faith, because in your grace you have united us with Jesus Christ, our Savior, and we belong to Him. Thank you that this is the case, and bless us with this understanding of your truth, we pray, in the good and gracious name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.